Afterward, he held the glass in his hand, and we looked at one another. Sometimes we talked and were good friends, but tonight it was difficult. "What's the matter, Father? You seem very tired."
"I am tired, but I have no right to be."
"It's the heat."
"No, this is only the spring. I feel very low."
"You have the war discussed."
"No, but I hate the war."
"I don't enjoy it," I said. He shook his head and looked out of the window.
"You do not mind it. You do not see it. You must forgive me. I know you are wounded."
"That is an accident."
"Still, even wounded, you do not see it. I can tell. I do not see it myself, but I feel it a little."
"When I was wounded, we were talking about it.
Pacini was talking."
The priest put down the glass. He was thinking about something else.
"I know them because I am like they are," he said.
"You are different, though."
"But really, I am like they are."
"The officers don't see anything."
"Some of them do. Some are very delicate and feel worse than any of us."
"They are mostly different."
"It is not education or money, it is something else. Even if they had education or money, men like Pacini would not wish to be officers. I would not be an officer."
"You rank as an officer. I am an officer."
"I am not really. You are not even an Italian. You are a foreigner. But you are nearer to officers than you are to the men."
"What is the difference?"
"I cannot say it easily. There are people who would make war. In this country, there are many like that. There are other people who would not make war."
"But the first ones make them do it."
"Yes.
And I help them."
"You are a foreigner. You are a patriot."
"And the ones who would not make war, can they stop it?"
"I do not know."
He looked out of the window again. I watched his face. "Have they ever been able to stop it?"
"They are not organized to stop things, and when they get organized, their leaders sell them out."
"Then it's hopeless."
"It is never hopeless, but sometimes I cannot hope. I try always to hope, but sometimes I cannot."
"Maybe the war will be over."
"I hope so."
"What will you do then?"
"If it is possible, I will return to the Abruzzi."
His brown face was suddenly very happy.
"You love the Abruzzi?"
"Yes, I love it very much." "You ought to go there then."
"I would be too happy. If I could live there and love God and serve him."
"And be respected," I said.
"Yes, and be respected. Why not?"
"No reason not. You should be respected."
"It does not matter. But there in my country, it is understood that a man may love God. It is not a dirty joke."
"I understand." He looked at me and smiled. "You understand, but you do not love God."
"No." "You do not love him at all?"
he asked. "I am afraid of him in the night sometimes."
"You should love him."
"I don't love much."
"Yes," he said, "you do. What you tell me about in the nights, that is not love. That is only passion and lust. When you love, you wish to do things for. You wish to sacrifice for. You wish to serve."
"I don't love."
"You will. I know you will. Then you will be happy."
"I'm happy. I've always been happy."
"It is another thing. You cannot know about it unless you have it."
"Well," I said, "if I ever get it, I will tell you."
"I stay too long and talk too much."
He was worried that he really did. "No, don't go. What about loving women? If I really loved someone, would it be like that?"
"I don't know about that. I never loved any woman."
"What about your mother?"
"Yes, I must have loved my mother."
"Did you always love God?"
"Ever since I was a little boy."
"Well," I said, I did not know what to say. "You are a fine boy," I said.
"I am a boy," he said. "But you call me father."
"That's politeness." He smiled. "I must go, really," he said.
"You do not want me for anything?"
he asked hopefully.
"No,
just to talk."
"I will take your greetings to the mess."
"Thank you for the many fine presents."
"Nothing."
"Come and see me again."
"Yes, goodbye."
He patted my hand. "So long," I said in dialect. Ciao, he repeated.